we'll read one verse, the verse that we were just singing about, Matthew 28, and verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19, the Lord is speaking, and He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Thinking of that verse, or those two verses that we read, and the phrase that has stuck out in my wife and I, Patty and I, is the word that's repeated twice, teaching. And we are so thankful for those that have gone to El Salvador years ago. I know many of you know of Jack and Ellen Sayer, who went there in 1969, and several others that have followed since then. The gospel has been preached faithfully, and souls have been saved. A little brief history of, or geographic history of El Salvador. I wish there were something around here that I could compare it to, but I don't even know where I'm at. El Salvador is very small. El Salvador is the size of, somebody was saying, the state of Massachusetts. I don't know really what that means because I've never been there either. But Washington State, El Salvador fit in there about 9 times. Population, approximately 7 million. But in that small country of 150 miles long and 50 miles wide, there are today 19 assemblies. 19 gatherings, some large, some small, of those that have been bought with a price. They have been taught the meaning of gathered into His name, and there they are. They have a real zeal for the gospel. They go out constantly. Just about every assembly in El Salvador has a gospel outreach work, whether it's in the neighboring community, somewhere. They're going forth with the gospel. But there's a great need to teach. Gospel work, even though it's hard work, it's physically demanding, and those that have been involved in gospel or pioneer work, as we call it, it's a lot of work. But at the same time, you see blessing. Because God has promised. He has promised to bless the preaching of the cross. It is the power of God unto salvation. And when you're encouraged as you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because souls will be saved if we are faithful in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then, teaching, it's tough. People don't like to hear it. We live in a society, we've been reminded of Jesus as my friend, Jesus as my Savior. But they forget that He is Lord. And you can't separate the two. If someone here this afternoon thinks that you know the Savior, but you're not willing to accept Him as Lord, there's something wrong because they cannot be separated. It's interesting in the New Testament how it is always Lord mentioned first. He is Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So a lot of what Patty and I have been involved in with the last 14 years, which is just mind-boggling to think that we've been there for 14 years, is visiting some of the established assemblies, places that Jack Saywards or even Goatleys, different ones have established years gone by, and trying to help them out, teach them a little bit. And one of the areas that we have been working in the last couple of years is the assembly of Santa Tecla. Santa Tecla is right next to San Salvador. We live in the capital, San Salvador, population approximately 2 million. And nearby there is the city of Santa Tecla. And it's what we call one of the city assemblies. Most of the assemblies are in rural areas. For some reason, people that don't have all the glitter and glamour of the city life are more receptive to the gospel. And I think you'll find that here in North America as well. As more and more things come into our lives, people, less time for the things of God. So most of the assemblies in El Salvador are on the outskirts. But Santa Tecla is a city assembly. It was one of the last assemblies that Jack and Ellen saw established when they were there. And it was basically established with Christians that were already going to one of the other assemblies. They were traveling, some were going west and some were going east. And work was started right there in Santa Tecla. And when the assembly was established, it was more Christians coming in to establish that assembly, that Christians that lived there. So, it's been tough. Not a lot of people coming in from the community. There's a group every Sunday afternoon goes out visiting, but it's like here. They don't want to hear it. You know, I mentioned some of these things so that you realize that the mission field isn't always glamorous. There was somebody there had, I better keep my adjectives to myself here, but wrote in one of the magazines, you don't need to go to El Salvador where the fish are just jumping out of the water. Well, obviously that person has never been there because that's not the case. It's true. God does bless in salvation, but it's tough work. And here in Santa Tecla, and I think if my pictures are right, this is not a very good picture of the hole in Santa Tecla, but there's a group of young people. One of them there is our son. Probably if you got closer, you could probably figure out which is the white kid in the group. But here's a group of young people. Most of these are children of the Christians. There might be three or four that have no assembly background. Their parents have nothing to do with Christ or the Bible. And Sunday afternoons, we get together to study the Word of God. This study that we were doing was basically with a focus of baptism and assembly fellowship. Out of this group of young people, in the last year, six of them have been baptized, and four of them received into the assembly there in Santa Tecla. One of them, which is our son Derek, which is always great. Sometimes we forget about the mission field that we have in our very own home. That was one of my concerns. Leaving, taking our young family to a foreign country, what will become of them? But God has been faithful. He has blessed in the salvation of our three boys, and the three of them are in assembly fellowship. So there's a young group in Santa Tecla, and several of them recently baptized, received into fellowship. Santa Tecla is an assembly that has about 9 or 10 brethren in it. There's about 20 or so in fellowship. But some of the challenges that we encounter are the lack of men willing to step up to the responsibility that they have to preach the word. I'm thankful that on a Sunday morning, there are no pauses. Every single brother will stand and worship. Every single one of them. Doesn't matter. Save 2 years, they'll get up and they have their thoughts, they'll worship. But to be able to open the Word of God, it's not that they're not able. Nowadays, we have the advantage that most of them can read and write, which is something that the early missionaries would have fought with. Nobody would know how to read and write back in those days. Not the case now. So there is one brother, one of the guys in that group that's leading the study. And basically the ministry is left up to Victor and myself. We try to encourage others. They want the ministry. One thing that I think is commendable to mention, El Salvador, all the assemblies still have 2 weeknight meetings. There is, in Santa Tecla's case, Tuesday night prayer meeting. Hour for prayer. Thursday night, ministry meeting. Normally, one message. Mostly because it's either Victor or myself. There's nothing ever been established. We don't, make rules that it's my turn, then your turn. But you kind of know that if Victor spoke on Thursday, I better be ready for the next Thursday. Try to encourage the men.
take part.
Sunday morning, they want ministry after the breaking of bread. It's a good thing. But they don't do it. You try to encourage them. Even if it's 5 minutes. Something that you have enjoyed of the Lord during the week. Get up and give it. You know, maybe I'm speaking to someone here this afternoon. Too often we just sit back. And I think that's where they're at right now. Kevin's there. And Victor's there. I don't need to do anything. But no, we have a responsibility, brethren, to edify one another. You don't have to be a great speaker. You don't have to be some eloquent. If God has given you something, it's so that you can share. It's so that you can pass it on. And that's one of the challenges we are having, is trying to encourage others. Like I told someone the other day, I don't plan to make a career out of going to Santa Tecla. There's many other places that need help. But in the meantime, we're there trying to help them out, trying to encourage them to take more of an active part. Because really, it's I need to be careful with my words sometimes, but it's their assembly. I realize it's God's assembly, but they are responsible for that lampstand that God has lifted up in that area. They're the ones that are going to carry that on. They cannot depend on visiting brethren for the rest of their life. So we remember the work in Santa Tecla. Their Sunday school is fairly large. That's a group of young people there, but during their Sunday school time, it would almost be twice as much. Those are mostly just saved young people that have been saved, and we were trying to help them with a little more of a grasp in understanding the scriptures. One of the other assemblies that we have visited, especially when we first went down there, we spent every weekend out in this assembly called Los Quiotes. I don't expect you to remember the name. I really should go through and make up names for some of these, you know, and that way you'll remember them. But this is out on the eastern part of the country, and it's one of the early assemblies, you might say, established back in 74, 75, thereabouts. They've remodeled their hall about three times. Every time they've made it bigger. It's one of the assemblies that for the last 15, maybe even 20 years, has had very little influence from the missionaries. During the Civil War, you that are studying a little bit of history, El Salvador had a civil war between 1980 and 1992. It was almost impossible to visit these assemblies on the eastern part of the country. Back then, Craig Sayward had his plane, and they would try to get out there occasionally, but it was pretty much, they were on their own. But yet God has blessed them. There's over 60 in fellowship. For the first years that we were down there visiting them every weekend, mostly in the Sunday school. When we started visiting the Assembly of Los Quiotes, they still had a large Sunday school, but all the responsibility, again, was left on one man. He basically did it all. Soon, you know, Sunday school was right after the breaking of bread. Everybody would always pray for the Sunday school, but then they all go home. Once I read something, and it might be worth repeating. Don't pray that God, or don't pray for something that you yourself aren't willing to go and do. Okay? I mean, you can, criticize that comment, but really, don't pray for something that you yourself are not willing to go and do. That has, for many a years, I prayed that my older brother would go to the mission field. Because he was capable. He had a gift. Why doesn't he go? And then one day I finally realized, Kevin, why don't you go? Why are you trying to send your brother? Kind of like what Moses and Aaron, right? Anyway, the Sunday school, one man. We came in, we started to help, get some of the young people encouraged, working with one another. Today, the Sunday school, again, is probably close to 100 students. And the teachers are the students of 10 years ago. And that's really, that's amazing. That's great to think that 10 years ago, the ones that were sitting in the audience learning reverses are now the Sunday school teachers. That's what we want. You want to see that constant growth. And this is out in Los Yotes. Los Yotes is a small village. I think there might be a... We'll get to an aerial shot. Anyway, some of these pictures here are just a little bit of how they make their living. Los Yotes is right on the bay. So their source of income is the production of salt and fishing. During the dry season, El Salvador has two seasons basically, dry and wet. Well, actually it's hot and dry and hot and wet. But in the dry season, they produce salt. This is cooked salt. I think there might be another one here. You can see the fire under there as they bring in the salt water after it has sat in different tanks, getting up to a certain salt consistency. By the time they put it into the vat, it's at the same consistency as the Dead Sea. The solar does its work little by little. They put it into the vat, about 6 hours of boiling it, taking off the scum. Call it something else, I'm not basically what it is. At the end, you get a pile of salt. When you think of the furnace, and I realize that probably doesn't even compare to the furnace of Daniel's three friends, but it definitely makes for a good gospel message for those people that stand there day and night feeding that fire, what it would be like to be forever in a place where the flame is never quenched. The heat that comes out of that, you can think that's about 8 inches of salt water that's just constantly boiling. A few other piles of salt. 100 pounds of salt would sell for $2.25. So you can realize we do an awful lot of work to get a little bit of money. This is solar salt. The cooked salt is basically for human consumption. Solar is for livestock or whatever else they do with it. Same idea. You can see the kind of the tanks behind it where the water is brought in. And then these plastic troughs. Takes 24 hours of sunlight. The water is evaporated, and you come through and just pick up the salt. These are some pictures that probably, anyway, we'll just go through them. The fishing boats there. There's a aerial view, you might say, of Los Yotes. You can see the vats out there. You can see where the bay, they bring the water in through different canals. It's only been about 5 years since running water came into this village. And even today, most of the Christians don't have running water because the monthly fee is $2.29 a month. The average wage out here would be a lot less, but the average wage of El Salvador is less than $200 a month. We have our future daughter-in-law has a 5-year degree in accounting. Works for an accounting firm. Well, she just recently got bumped up, but for a whole year she was working for an accounting firm at $250 a month, 44 hours a week. She was making good money. And you know what? She was happy with that. Yeah. The cost of living is not that cheap. As you go to villages like this, you know, Los Yotes is down the end of about a 3-kilometer road. You think you're going to the end of the world. And when you get there, and you see an assembly, the assembly, the gospel hall, if you want to call it that, is the largest congregation in this village. There's 2 or 3 different gatherings, evangelical, as you know, they would call them. The assembly is the largest, and it's the strongest. They've had a good testimony for over 30 years, and God has blessed them. This is some Sunday school rooms. As we would leave the coast of Los Yotes and keep going on the Pacific coast, come to an assembly called Misata, where we have helped out for off and on for a bit. Misata, again, is one of the early assemblies. I was talking to Dad the other day. He says it was established probably back in 1971. Their hall that they built back in 71 was a wood structure. It was something somewhat temporary. And it wasn't until 2004 that we tore it down and built a new hall. But fortunately, tearing it down wasn't very difficult because the termites had already done most of the work. They had stolen the fans out of the place, the lights and everything else, because there's nothing to secure the doors. They had a huge chain around the door, so people would think, wow, how are we going to get into there? But all you had to do was push the door over because there was no jams to secure it to. But anyway, a new hall was built, and at that time, the assembly had about 12 in fellowship. The Sunday school was about 10. So we built a hall, more or less, that would be adequate for an assembly of 25 or 30 people. Why build more? Well, there's a commended worker in El Salvador, Carlos, his wife, Inés, and about 4 years ago, they started working the area of Misata. And they're hard workers. And the Lord is blessed. The assembly has grown a bit, mostly with young people that have professed to be saved, baptized, received into the assembly fellowship. And the Sunday school has grown. That Sunday school of 10 is now over 80. And by the end of last year, they started to build. This what you have here is three Sunday school rooms. Just, I didn't have a picture of the hall, but it's just up above from where the hall is. Here, the inside of one of the rooms, you can see there's a divider there. We need, there's lacking windows yet, lacking a floor, lacking doors. There's a few students doing their work, happy as can be, as you can see, making do with whatever they have, a 5-gallon bucket, some blocks. There's a little guy looking up, happy to get his picture taken, doing his homework. I was showing these to somebody the other day and said, well, don't you guys have a Costco down there? Can't you just run down and buy 20 tables and 50 chairs? Yeah. I said, do you happen to have American Express you can give me? You know? The assemblies out here, they're poor. They don't have. The assembly in Misata, their offering on a Sunday morning, if it would be $45, that would be a lot. And a table like this costs the same there, if not more. So they make do. I mean, and eventually, they will, little by little, they'll acquire more stuff. But it's great to see people that are willing, speaking of Carlos and Inés, to give their time to help out, and the Lord blesses in many different ways. And here, again, just some of these young people working away with their work. There's the inside of the existing hall, so you can see that it was definitely time to get them out of that building and into something else. Most likely, this would have been a special program, a lot of adults there. When you look back at the pictures of the building of the hall, there's still work to be done, but at least there's a roof on it. And I mentioned that El Salvador has two climates. The 1st of May comes with rains. Just like, I don't know what July 1st is for you guys as far as weather-wise, but July 4th in Washington State, you can pretty much guarantee it's going to rain. May 1st, it starts to rain. That's the season. And at least they have a roof over their heads where they can do their Sunday school. We'll leave Misata. Pray for the work there, the hall that need, or the Sunday school rooms that need to be finished. This is a river in a town called Ateos. Interesting, the name Ateos means atheist. And there's been an assembly outreach work in this town for over 30 years. It's been a tough go. Ateos is probably one of the most gang-infected area of El Salvador. Somebody was asking the other day, is there peace in El Salvador? Well, I don't know if there's peace anywhere in the world today, but political peace, yes. But the gangs, have overtaken the country. There are over 11, or an average of 11 murders a day in El Salvador. This is a very small country. 11 murders a day. Last year, there was over 4,000 people murdered. 2,000 missing, which of those 2,000, they would presume the majority of them have been killed. And every day in the newspaper, you will read something of this community of Ateos, where somebody was murdered, where they found a grave with five people dumped in it, or whatever. And in this village, some of you, well, I know it's probably just about everybody around here knows, or at least has heard of Helen Griffin. She has spent a lot of time working out here, but working mostly with a sister commended from the New Zealand Assembly. She has been there for coming up to 40 years, Hazel Brownlee. No doubt several have heard her name. And yet, here, what we have here is the river that has just about every year overflows its banks. Ateos has a few different rivers that come into one. You can see the houses totally destroyed as the river has come through. You can see how high the water was up there on the houses. Several Christians live in this area. None of them lost their homes. A lot of damage was done, but none of the Christians lost their homes. We were out, there's a railroad bridge. You can see it kind of got buckled a bit. Fortunately, there's no more railroad to worry about crossing it, but you can just see the extent of the water. There with the umbrella is Hazel Brownlee. My son leaning up, I'm not sure if the wall's holding him up or if he's holding the wall up, but there he is. Leading up with a box, we're out handing out water. Probably one of the greatest needs in times like this. And this happens every year. This isn't something that just happens. Every year, the same thing happens. They redo the dikes, they rebuild them bigger, but the water comes through and wipes them out. This area, like I said, is heavily infested with gangs. They run it. And yet, Hazel is on first name basis with a gang leader. During this time, because of the rivers, the different rivers that were swollen, and Hazel wanted to go out and give out care packages and different things to the people, she says, well, we're going to go to the other side of the river. And this man says, no, it's too dangerous over there. You shouldn't go there alone. I'll go with you. And she doesn't like that. He don't want to be associated with that. Everybody knows he is the gang leader. He is the one that calls the shots. He's responsible for murders. People know that. But because of the fear, nobody says anything. But yet, Hazel has a picture of this guy with a John 3:16 text in his hand, giving it to somebody else. Giving it to, I mean, who would ever thought that somebody like that, who is on a downward road to hell if he does not repent of his sin, and yet God uses it through Hazel. You know, you never know how God will use us or even some of the material that we have. There's the man in the background, that's his home. There's our youngest son in the always looking to get in front of a camera. But you can see, you know, there as the water, you can see the stain in the house, put everything on their beds, hoisted up into the air, trying to save what little they can. This is some goods that the assembly in Los Siotes, like I mentioned out there, Los Siotes, assembly that has been somewhat self-supported for several years now, when they heard of the need on the other side of the country, they got together and just from the assembly sent in a whole pickup load of clothing, food. You can see all those bags there, blue bags of water, because that's probably the greatest need that they have. All the water would be contaminated, different things. In the corner you see some coke. We decided that it probably wasn't good to give Coke out to the people, so we decided that was a good thing for us to drink because we didn't want to, you know, contribute to decaying teeth and that. But there were Hazel and our oldest son Alan going through close. Hazel, with her connection with these people, she knows everybody in the community, knows their needs, knows how many kids in their family. And as we're going through this pile of clothes that the assembly in Los Chotes has sent in, you know, I'm thinking, you know, why don't we just take it out there, dump it off somewhere, and let people come and get it? Hazel's like, oh no. And she's going through everything. This will be perfect for Maria. Oh, this is just what Johnny needs. This will be perfect for so-and-so. Making little care packages, getting everything ready, so that in the days to come, take it out to that area that we just saw with the river overflowing its banks, visiting one another, giving them some food, some clothing, and God is blessed. Ateos, at this time, there is no assembly in the town of Ateos. They all travel, the majority of them, to a nearby place called Izalco, which is where Helen Griffin would normally go on a Sunday morning. But the Lord has blessed. Now, the greatest problem they have is, because of the gangs, really, where to buy property? What kind of a building do you build? There has to be a time when you realize that you just have to leave things in God's hands. And we must remember that it is His work. And if He wants a lampstand there, He will provide the means. And I wouldn't be surprised in the next little while. I don't want to put any time on God's timing, but there will be another assembly in the town of Ateos. And not to give credit to one person, but really, Hazel has done a lot. And she has given her life to serve the needy there in El Salvador. There we are again. Said our youngest boy, always looking for an opportunity. You might think he's actually out helping, but he just grabbed the bag of things. Hey, Dad, take a picture. You know, this will look good. But, in order to graduate from high school, they have to have 100 social hours. So this is considered social hours. So now he can prove that he actually did something. There he is again, like I said, getting his social hours. Loading the van full of water. More water. One of the roads there in the town of Ateos, after the river had come up and gone back down. You think, well, how long does it take for the tractors to come in and clear out the road? No tractors. Wheelbarrow and shovels and haul it back to the river. There's the bridge that was wiped out. Main transportation to go over to the western part of the country. It has now been rebuilt. You can see there the asphalt and the rebar that was left of the bridge. It's amazing what a little bit of water can do. Another picture of the bridge. Again, this is, it's not really a good picture of what it is, but it's grandstands in front of a small football field, soccer field. And everybody has come out of their homes and are spending the week in the grandstands. Anything of value that they couldn't lift up, they hauled out. You'd see fridges, stoves, dressers, all sorts of stuff up on the grandstands, trying to wait for the water to go back down. The average person, even from that would live nearby, would not go in to this area. They would not walk down these back passageways where we were out handing out stuff. It's not safe. It would not be wise. And yet Hazel marches in there like she knows it. How thankful we are that we have one that protects us and has promised to protect us regardless of what the world conditions are. El Salvador is a place that is still very much receptive to the gospel. There are several new works going on constantly. El Salvador is a place where there's plenty to do, as we've been seeing a little bit of the different areas. One of the things we must remember, and you know, there's a few young people here. We are never too young or too old to serve the Lord. Somebody made a comment the other day, and you know, just so that you know, there's different missionaries that are in El Salvador. Craig and Corina Sayward, Hazel Brownlee, Helen Griffin, and Alan and Diana Clark, who have been there for, I think, about 7 years now. You know, somebody said, don't be like Alan and Diana Clark and give the last of your life to the Lord. Well, is there any time that we can say, you know what? I've only got 5 years left. It's not worth it. Well, I might as well not do anything. Wherever we are, if there's something that God has set before you to do, as we have been reminded and have seen it in our Bible study, do it. Oh, I'd love to see you all in El Salvador, but I know that's not realistic. There's a work to be done right here. Wherever you are, there's a work to be done. There's none of us that can say, you know what, I have not been called to serve my risen Lord. We have all been called to serve our risen Lord. In a different measure, yes. So search the Scriptures. Ask for guidance. Is there something you can do? And I will guarantee you, if you truly search and ask, as Paul did, what wilt thou have me to do? He will open the doors for you. And you can go through with confidence, knowing that He has promised, as we have sung, as we have read, to be with us, to be with you throughout the end of the world. He has promised. Let us lay hold of His promise. There's so much to do. Wherever we are, may the Lord give help and remember the little country of El Salvador. I know there's other, there's so many places where God is working. Just pray that His work will continue. It's not for our honor and His, for our glory. You know, sometimes we get carried away when we talk about what we do and what we have done and what we have said, and you know, that's just the ugly flesh rearing its head again. It's what God has done, what He has done through us. And if He tarries, may the Lord give help. As I go back on the 31st of July, there's a conference out in Los Ciotes. I promise to be there with them, to give whatever help I can. What can you do? Ask the Lord. He will guide. He will direct. Now, our time is about gone. We'll go ahead and pray. Father, we do give thanks for